Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. We have had a lot going on this week. As usual, your favorite two cohorts who are hated by so many fucking people, but I kind of actually like that, Billy. I like that we're like the scourge, and people either love us or hate us. There's no eh in the middle. And I'm the one that you love to hate. My name is Cav Manning, and I'm from the Lingus Mafia podcast. All my stuff is at Lingus Mafia. And the other guy you love to hate, that is, I think he's probably more hated than I am, for sure. Just because he's known by more people, so you got to have more people hate you. That's Mr. Billy Body.
I don't know why you'd be listening to this and hating us, unless it's just to steal. It's those people that want to steal the little bits of news you get on here and then put it up
on their
websites.
Or like Aiden, who likes to complain but pay for services and can't stop listening. It's the old Howard Stern line. Why do they listen if they hate him? Because they want to see what he does next. That's pretty much what it comes down to. I need to be angry at them and hate them, so I need to hear what they say. So, you know, that's it. But, the people who listen to this, for the most part, I think have the same sense of humor and are fucking, you know, disgraceful just as much as we are. So they feel at home with us.
Yeah, we're going to bring our show out about eating snacks and all that kind of stuff, which people can look forward to.
Oh, my God. You imagine a show about eating fucking snacks. You can't. I mean, that is... Hey, I need to fucking hear myself talk. I need a show. What can I do? I need to just talk about something.
The thing is, the basis of that, you know, that philosophy of like, I need to do another show, right? Would be usually when I was on the Steel Cage, the basis of me beginning the Dirty Sheets was a demand for me to speak more. That was. Oh, sorry. I'm getting a call from Nick.
Good time.
I wonder what's happened. Yeah.
Tell him you're recording.
I wonder what's happened. If there was a way to play, to put the call on,
can't you do the three? You know what? I think I can. Or can I?
Only on WhatsApp, though. He's not calling me on WhatsApp. He's calling me on FaceTime audio.
See, because I'm thinking you could do that. Yeah, you could add a call. Let me see. I'll try to add a call. We'll try to get Nick from New York. Hold on 1 second. Let's see if this works. Hold on. Let's see. Go to Nick from New York.
He's not calling me about something to do with vaccines, is he?
God. Here we go. Hold on. Let's see. Will he answer? And we can merge calls.
Please leave your message for 5.
Well, no, it shot me right to voicemail.
Oh, what, his thing did?
Yeah, he shot me to voicemail, so I got off. So,
That's probably because he was still like in the midst of calling me.
Yeah, maybe. I'll text him and tell him we're trying to call, and then we go. So, what do you think about wrestling? let's see. Billy is doing a show with me, and I tried to three-way. Yeah, baby. Okay, let's see what he says. So we had a pay-per-view this week. I guess we'll go through SmackDown first before we get into the pay-per-view. Because, boy, oh, boy, was there something on this pay-per-view that will pretty much take up the entire time because should be fucking ashamed of themselves. You see Batista tweet about the zombies?
Yeah, he said, what the fuck's he got to do with me?
Yeah. Because someone goes, hey, Dave, I don't know about this. He's like, what the fuck do I have to do with it? Ask Vince. So.
Yeah.
That's great. So why don't you go ahead with SmackDown? Since SmackDown was your duty.
I swear I was in the middle of making a point about Steel Cage.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Nick threw me off course. Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the demand. Like, I did Steel Cage and people were like, asking for more, like they were talking about, oh, we'd like to hear what we know. There was a lot of those, you know, these questions that were coming in from listeners, and it was all Josh would say to me. It'd be like, yeah, you get a lot of questions that we don't put on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember that segment of the show, but I'm sure it existed. So yeah, I mean, eventually that was the idea, to just do my own show, because a lot of people wanted to have more news and just wanted me to like speak a bit more. And I initially did it with Derek because he was already asking for his own show. So that guy basically said, people want you to do a show. Listen to the phrasing. People want you to do a show. And Derek's asked me for a show, asked me for another show. Says, did you hear the difference? people want you to do another show. And Derek has also asked me for another show. So you guys should just do it together. So that's how that ended up coming about, because my choice to do a show with somebody from that lot would not have been Derek, because he's the one that I knew the least, and hadn't met in person or anything like mm-hmm. the other lot, because I didn't meet him till 31, because he came aboard in that year between 2014 2015. I must have met him at some smelly indie show. But yeah, he wasn't known in 2014. So ideally, I would have done it with someone else. I can't think who, probably Adam. But yeah, so that's how that came about. And then 16 episodes in, he was like, I got to have my own show. Like, because this is really just his show.
It's the Billy show. I can't do this.
Yeah, and I think like even in terms of when I paid to have the logo done for Dirty Sheets, mm-hmm. he wasn't in it, was he? Like, once I had it designed, it was me on my own. So I think I don't know. Like, what? I don't know. It's very weird for people that look like that and are that size, and you know, have that. I'm married to who he's married to, and just generally to have that kind of ego. Like, ego is normally attached to accomplishments or appearance or just a general, you know, like where you're very, you know, relevant in your friendship group or I don't know. Like, ego comes from somewhere, right? It doesn't. I've never understood his ego in terms of where he gets the ego, where he thinks, oh, I need to be on my own show.
And I don't know, probably because he works for like baseball or something, you know, and he does fucking, I don't know what the fuck he does. Is he a reporter or something like that? Maybe that's why he thinks he's important. He got a blue check mark.
There's no supporting data to say that you are important. There's no supporting data to say that you should, that people want to hear you talk about snacks and whatnot. And the thing is, what's even more embarrassing is with the audience that he's been given for his job. Like, he went in, got a job, got through the interview somehow. They decided to put him on the airwaves, and yeah, he does that show with an audience that was already grown from, you know, the existing radio station, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that nobody that listens to that radio station, that listens to his show, decides that they want to hear him do anything else. And I'm sure, like, he has free reign to, like, plug it on his Twitter account, which he probably does. There's no way he doesn't put his podcast on his Twitter account. And he obviously mentions his Twitter account on the radio station. And there is no interest at all. It's pretty difficult to have a built-in audience that you can promote to, and they don't want to listen to you do anything else at all. It's fucking crazy. It's like me fucking doing my soccer show, or me doing this show and having nobody from this podcast listen to the Russo show, or like having zero Patreons and that's actually like paying customers, mm-hmm. but obviously that's not the case. But I mean, it's even worse than that, because he's not asking them for any money to listen to him talk about anything else. So I don't know. I don't get this ego from it. But obviously we know where the issues are with us, because we obviously pointed all of this stuff out directly to him, which is obviously going to sting. But yeah, I mean, it is, in all seriousness, it is a valid point. Like, there is no following there at all. There's no interest in seeing or hearing him do anything.
Well, we should go, because we got to go through SmackDown and do all this shit, and I got to get out of here by at least 3:15, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fuck you, Nick. You're doing this show again once I get my other job.
Yeah, right.
Fuck
I
you.
I haven't watched wrestling in like a year and a half.
Well, now you're forced.
Yeah, I watched Bad Bunny. That's about it.
You know, looking back now, Bad Bunny was fantastic compared to the fucking zombies we got last week.
Yeah, well, I saw tweets about that. I was like, God damn it. I'm so happy I don't watch wrestling anymore.
Oh, dude. I couldn't believe what the fuck. I came back into the room and I couldn't fuck. I go, what the fuck is this? Oh,
it's like, did I just drop acid? What's going on? All right, good luck.
All right.
God bless
you. All right, we'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's go on with...
That's not in the show, is it?
Yeah, that's in the show.
It can't be in a show. It was like cutting out. It was all cutting out throughout.
Oh, believe me. That I guarantee you. Now, I ask all our fucking audience, tweet us, let us know if you enjoyed that segment or if you wanted to kill yourself. But kill yourself with enjoyment. Because that was fucking entertaining is what that was.
You could barely hear it.
No, there was only a couple points he cut out. That's all. That's all. Don't worry about it. We're doing a wrestling show, if you didn't know, by the way. You took over SmackDown. I didn't even finish SmackDown because I was away on the weekend. And then once a pay-per-view is coming on, I'm like, well, why do I go back? Why should I go back and watch SmackDown? What do you got to say about it? You're the one who wrote SmackDown this week.
Are we on some kind of like video call here now?
Yeah, we're on the video call, but it's not like the video call goes out over anything, but yeah, we can stare
at each other. Yeah, but I'm just wondering if it like makes my sound worse.
No, it actually makes it better.
All right, let's do this.
Yeah, it's perfect, actually.
Let me dig up SmackDown. Oh, I really don't think we should have the call on the show. Okay, so the show opens up with Roman and Jay. And when I was reading that just now from my notes, it sounded like last week's show, but it's not. That's the problem with some of these shows. So Jimmy comes out. He's not on board with Roman still.
It still sounds like last week.
And Roman's telling him, do what I do. Do what I do then. If you think you can do better, you do what I do. You beat Cesaro tonight. And that's how they get to like the main event. It was done in a way where, you know, it filled the time okay. And I could see the point of it. But it's just on paper, Cesaro versus Jimmy Uso. If you think back to where these people were and what position they were in a while back, this would be like one half of Cesaro and Sheamus versus one half of the Usos. And now it's like main event in SmackDown. Yeah. So it's kind of like it has more credibility now. But if you were someone that tuned out and you're tuning back in and you saw this, you would immediately tune out again. Next up, we have Natalya and Tamina winning the tag titles from Shayna and Nia. This is a surprise to most people because they're probably expecting the routine here of the tag champions losing the non-title matches and winning the title matches. Mm-hmm. But you get obviously Swerve with the new champs here. I actually found out this title change was happening during the week because I know that they want to make Alexa and Lily the tag team champions.
Oh, no.
And they didn't want to have Nia and Shayna lose that match.
Yeah,
to them.
I can imagine.
Because they think that they're like commodities in the singles division. So they decided to just stick it on these two. Dave was reporting this as, why Tamina's getting pushed? I saw in the dirt sheets. And Dave said, yeah, they're really behind Tamina now because the crowd were chanting her name at WrestleMania. And I just laughed. I was like, that is so made up. That's not what it is at all. And the thing is that there's me on Russo's show on Friday telling you that the tag titles are going to switch because Alexa, when she came out last week, she was supposed to choose who she was going to go with. And what I reported on the dirty sheets was the idea was to keep it consistent with the Bray stuff. So where Bray always used to go and have feuds with people that he had, you know, that already beat, you know, regular Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. And the Fiend would go and take him out, like, you know, Orton, Cena.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman, that's what Bray was doing. And they wanted to keep Alexa consistent with that. Mm-hmm. So she was going to target Nia Jax because they got the history. But in the end, they decided that if Nia and Shayna lose to this doll, then they're going to be, there's nothing we can do with them. If Natalya and Tamina lose to this doll, there's nothing that we can do with them anyway, because they're both in their like
60s and they're going to be retiring soon. So yeah, it made no difference. So that's why this really happened. And Dave Meltzer doesn't know fucking shit about anything that's going on. He just makes stuff up. I can literally send you a link of him saying Tamina's getting a push because they realize she's really over with the fans because of WrestleMania.
I've never wanted you to be more wrong in my life than
it's gonna happen.
Alexa to win the titles with a fucking doll. I can't even begin to fucking imagine. The only thing that would make this worse is if the doll was life-size and someone was like inside of it to fucking actually have
really
a match.
I think it's satisfying for me. Women's revolution and everything.
If you want to do a I told you so, yes, it's 100% perfect.
Oh, yeah, I want to do I told you so. And I think with what they're doing, they're obviously doing this because they need to get this done before the fans get back July the 16th, because obviously whatever special effects they want to do here from the pre-tape, they got to like switch these belts quickly.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is worse than what Nicholas winning the title, right? I mean, by far. That was a human.
Yeah, but this is also worse because the women's division have like three titles and they're always talking about how there's a revolution going on.
Wow, that is fucking startling.
And this is going to set it back to exactly where it was, and it will be satisfying.
Wow. Fuck, who says you don't get news on this show, folks? Holy fuck. Go on. Commander Aziz.
Where are we up to? Oh, yeah, Commander Aziz. Commander Aziz ceremony is interrupted by Big E, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. In my notes, I say this is likely to lead to a four-way.
You're writing it before they announced it.
Yeah. And I said it's an easy way for Apollo to keep his belt without being Big E again. So that's what will happen, surely. Ray and Ziggler's next. Because people in tag matches on a pay-per-view got a fight every week on TV before the match.
True.
This match is fine, like you expect out of these two. And obviously, staying with what's expected, Ziggler loses. With Ziggler's outfits and his attire and the things he does, is he trying to come out via his dress sense and the things he does? Like a man with pigtails, with pink in his hair, with pink bits, highlights in his hair. What is that telling you? Or is he just fucking with you?
Like, and the gloves, the Madonna gloves that are underneath the gloves that are pink and fucking green. Like he goes 80s style with the neon. Fuck, I don't know what. His time has passed with giving a fuck about him at this point. They blew it when he was fucking hot to the touch. And now nobody gives a fuck.
Oh, that was like 8 years ago.
Yes, exactly. It's nobody gives a shit anymore.
No, and he come back and did those other promos, how it should have been me. Yeah. Remember when he come back, it should have been me. We made that return. It should have been me. And then lost to Kofi and then Goldberg. And yeah, I mean, he has his ups and downs, but yeah, he's never going to be important again. And the thing is that he's the only guy that could lose both of the tag matches and then lose the fucking belts as well. Like, you never see that. He could have at least beat one of these two. So like, there was like, you know, a bit of intrigue going into the weekend. But it was weird because usually if I see Ziggler losing the two matches here, I would usually predict Rude and Ziggler would win at the weekend, but I never did. At no point. I just thought, oh, they're going to just lose three matches then because it's Dolph Ziggler and he can lose three matches.
Yeah.
Do you know, there was a fact here now. I can't remember where it was. Kane's had the most matches in the history of the WWE.
No shit.
And Ziggler is second.
Wow. That's right? Fucking wild to even think that. I guess because Ziggler took that time off at one point, but shit.
Well, Kane, why would it be? Why is it wild? Do you think Ziggler would be number one?
Oh, yeah. It seems like he's been there longer, and he could do more matches, I think, because of his size.
Dude, Kane's been there 10 years longer than Dolph Ziggler.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Well, if you count Spirit Squad, it's 10 years, but if you count Spirit Squad, it's 9 years. But
wow. Yeah, I guess so. Fuck.
And Ziggler's had more losses than anyone in history of WWE.
No shit. Really? I guess he'd do it long enough because I'm like, Barry Horowitz didn't have more? But yeah, he wasn't there that long.
No, and he wasn't booked on house shows.
Wow. Jesus Christ. That's what's funny. He's one of those carpenters. He's a great hand. Like, that's what you think. He'll have a great match with anyone, throw him out there with anyone, and but nobody gives a fuck. That's what
he's lost. He's not been a babyface much either. So in the house shows, the heels usually lose, especially in his spot. Yeah, I think it was like really high. I think he lost like 92% of his matches or something.
Do we know if AJ fucked Dolph? Not AJ Styles, AJ Lee. Were they fucking? Do we know
they
that?
Kissed on TV and stuff? I have no idea.
Yeah, but I mean, she kissed everybody on TV. But there was at one point, I thought maybe she was banging him or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, I mean, he'd fuck everybody walk past. So.
So where are we up to? Cesaro here now, he gets handed 100% the little train that could promo from Vince here. Because he was like, he was all like, I know I can, I know I can, and all this shit. Do you know about this being Vince's favorite book and the Warrior buying him this book as a gift and everything?
No, I don't.
So there's a children's book, the little train that can or could or whatever.
I think I can. I think I can. Yeah.
And what either Vince bought it for Warrior or Warrior bought it for Vince.
Oh my God.
Vince, one of them started crying when they got it off the other one. I can't remember who.
Oh, they've got to say this in biography, right? Coming up this week.
I think it would be on the story next week. If Vince received it from Warrior, he'll show it. Or if Warrior received it from Vince, then he won't be able to
Wouldn't
show
you.
Would
you take that as an insult? Like, oh, what are you saying? I'm a fucking child? That's what I would think. I'd be like, oh, I'm a child that needs to know I think I can to do something.
I have no idea. It depends whose favorite book it is.
Wow.
Anyway, this Cesaro is awful at this. I said here I don't want to see any disappointment on the internet from the losers when he loses on Sunday, and I haven't really. I mean, I saw one or two that beforehand they were saying, "Oh, Cesaro needs to win, and Roman can win it back. It doesn't hurt Roman at all." And I was like, "Yeah, it does. Like this guy, you can't just make everyone a champion. Not everybody can be." A former WWE or like world heavyweight champion or whatever. We've already got enough of those in Jinder and Kofi Kingston and Great Khali. Like all these guys are walking around saying that. And Ahmed Johnson isn't one of those people.
Sacrilegious.
What happens next here? Michael Cole interviews Bianca Belair. Cole says he can't believe it's been 4 weeks already since he's been champion. That's right.
I can't believe it's been 4 weeks. What does that mean? As in, it feels like it's been a long time, or it feels like it barely happened. What is he talking about?
It's been torture for me. I can't believe it's just been 4 weeks. Feels like a year. And then the last of all, Jimmy Uso doesn't get to win on his match back, and Cesaro doesn't beat him either because Roman just gets this match fucking called out of a DQ already. Jimmy's pissed, and Roman tells us what we all know about SmackDown and Raw matches on TV. Nobody cares about these stupid little matches. They only care about the big money matches. That is actually WWE's TV completely summarized again. And that's the second time in a year that Roman's done that because he told Drew McIntyre about 6 months ago, nobody cares about Raw. Nobody watches that show. So he's just getting
that
to
was great.
Ball, like all the facts here. Cesaro comes out on top here at the end, takes out both of the Usos, and Roman just stands there watching Jay get the neutralizers. This show's fine. I just always think it feels better because it's not Raw.
It does. And I think it's because it's 2 hours. I always say it. I'm like, I think it's because it's 2 hours. The pay-per-view.
Okay, let me ask you a question then. Put Roman Reigns on
You know what's funny you
Raw.
Say that? I thought about that last night. That is so bizarre that you said that. I said, I wonder what would be, and then I just started thinking business wise, like, oh, it's better that he's on SmackDown because it's national television, you know, and that's why he's there. And because my thought was, would they put him on Raw to try to get fucking ratings up? But it's smarter for them to have him on national fucking television, obviously. God, it would make it more interesting for me to fucking, I mean, I care. I actually fucking care when Roman is on screen. He's very entertaining to me. I look forward to all of his stuff when it's the pay-per-view, whatever. I look forward to it. And that is extremely rare for this time and age for me that I give a fuck about anybody. But I really do give a shit about his story. And you know, what he does. It's just fucking entertaining. So with Raw, they would have to pull like Austin, which would probably ruin him, where they show him constantly. You know, he's in every fucking segment on Raw, so you're staying tuned, you know?
But he's on everything on SmackDown, so...
But it's a shorter time. It doesn't feel like it's killed as much, you know? I mean, he pops on, Paul pops on if he's not there, shit like that. I think probably because it's the 2 hours, they could get away with it. If it was three, maybe you're like, fuck already, you know? I think three with anything is like, fuck already. But I would... I don't know if it would fucking help Randy, but I would be watching that when we get like when we're talking about pay-per-view right now on the main event of the pay-per-view. It was the only time I watched the entire match. Like I wasn't distracted by anything. I actually fucking watched and looked at it and everything, and I thought it was a really good match too. So I was like, wow, this is really fucking quality. And they actually hooked me to where I thought for a bit that they were going to give Cesaro the title because of how he was acting before the match started. I try to read people like in real life stuff where I saw Cesaro like getting himself like together almost, like doing a couple of the breathing things where it's like, okay, here we go. We're on the big stage type of shit, you know, where I'm like, fuck, maybe they're going to let him in. And like you were saying about people tweeting, I thought the same thing, like where I said, well, if he does win it, I'd expect Roman to get it back in, you know, next fucking day. But I was like, fuck, is he going to fucking actually win? Because they were doing a lot of, you know, he had no fucking chance. And all. Whenever they're like really shitting on something, you go, okay, they're going to like Kofi against fucking Lashley. I go, well, Kofi's going to win the fucking match because it was this guy has no fucking chance. And you go, and then you hear non-title, of course. But I actually thought for a minute, and it helped that he was like bruised up on his fucking bicep, so it looked like he was really fucked up. Actually, he's a fucking great wrestler, as we fucking know. There's nothing to say when it comes to his quality of in ring work.
Why do you think everything on his pay per view was ridiculously long? Like everything felt like half an hour.
I don't know if I thought that everything felt long. I didn't give a fuck about anything really. Nothing was, I mean, I was like, what the fuck with the zombie thing? And I don't care what they say about, well, look, we got people talking. Fuck you. I don't buy that for a fucking minute that, yeah, you want people to talk. And people say, well, even bad press is good press, all that shit. This is X-Pac heat with the go away. Fuck you. You don't want that. And saying somebody, everyone talking about you for something that's fucking ridiculous, you don't want that either. Where you hear them shit on the fucking blood and guts, and then we get fucking zombies. You know, it's, fuck. I mean, we know it's fake, obviously. But Jesus fucking Christ, you can't fucking go into this. Where the zombies were well behaved and knew how to be lumberjacks. When the match was over, now they came in the ring. And so... what are we supposed to believe then? Because now Morrison got dragged away. He shows up the next night. He's fine. But he got dragged down by zombies. Miz should be a fucking zombie now, right? Or dead. Something. How is this?
He's injured, so.
Is he really injured?
Yeah, he's really injured, so.
What happened to him? Is it in the match that happened to him, or he was hurt going into the match and just needed to go through the match and get out of it?
I don't know if he got injured during the match, but he's injured now. He's got a torn ACL or something.
No shit. Shit. So, you know what? I'm guessing then that was, obviously, he was hurt before the match, and this is a way to just have him go away for a long time. So, no shit. He fucking tore his knee. I'm going to have to watch back. See, now I got to watch that fucking zombie match back. I want to see if he's, like, limping around or anything, or if there's any fucking issue, because I can't imagine they would have had the zombies eat him if they weren't expecting him to go away for a fucking while. Ray and Dominic, it was a nice little story. I appreciate that. However, I don't appreciate that now Mysterio is Andre the Giant and can't get fucking pinned. It was 2-on-1. He was getting destroyed. He fucking took finishers. He's no problem. I kick out. I guess because he's dressed like Batman, he can kick out. And then, go ahead.
Yeah, I just I just can't believe. I can't believe you did this here. I can't believe, like, you just had WrestleMania with the fans.
Yes.
And you're always talking about these WrestleMania moments and stuff, and you did this here. Like, I don't get why you had to have so much of that filler shit, so much of that filler crap on WrestleMania, and how you couldn't find a way to get this on and then just do a rematch here the next month. Because I don't think they're doing rematches here. I think they're probably going to put it straight on the Usos, and they just wanted to get this moment done. But you'd surely do this at WrestleMania and not the Thunderdome. This makes no sense to me at all.
I laughed because Dominic was selling that fucking injury, right? You notice after, like, I go, come on. During the splash, he doesn't then fucking grab his belly like he fucking killed himself. There was no problem. And then when they won, there was no problem either. And then later he, like, started to grab. I go, come on, man. Keep on fucking selling. What the fuck? Rest of the pay-per-view, nothing even fucking stands out to me. The three-way match with the women, okay, who cares? The three-way guys match, it was... There's no threat to me that anybody was losing any fucking titles. So it was kind of like, who cares? The only thing that Cesaro won, of all the people, he was the one that I actually fucking, you know, thought for a second. So the other ones, it didn't even occur, which then gets my mind off of it, and I don't care either.
Well, no, I thought, like, the women's match had good bits in it. The finish was kind of weak, where Charlotte catches Ripley with a boot, falls off the apron, and then allows Rhea Ripley to get the pin. Charlotte boots Oscar and allows Rhea Ripley to get the pin. I didn't think that was well thought out. But everything before that was pretty good once they got going. The men's match was good throughout. Some of the stuff, like, look how many times, like, Strowman looked like he was going to break his neck. Like, that belly to, I think it was a belly to belly over the top suplex on the outside. Mm-hmm. That he took the bump, like, his neck was 2 inches from the ground. But I think Drew obviously he had to map and choreograph out that entire match for both guys, and he's probably calling the whole thing. The thing that let it down was the finish. The same, they don't have any other finish for a triple threat match other than the babyface, who's the next challenger, is about to win.
Yeah.
And then the heel comes in and steals
throws
it.
Him out. That's it. Every time they do their finisher, and then the other guy throws him out of the ring and pins.
Yeah, here's the kicker here. Austin was writing in his Austin report the predictions for the pay per view, and the Backlash predictions. He writes Roman versus Cesaro. I think Roman wins this match because he just beat Edge and Bryan at Mania, and it seems like he will stay champion for a long time. There is a chance Jimmy Uso could help Cesaro, but I still think Roman will win. Braun Strowman versus Drew versus Bobby Lashley. I think that Bobby Lashley will retain the WWE Championship. I think he will come in and steal this match when either Drew or Braun hit their finishes. He's 10.
That's sick. That's fucking disgusting. That's, they should be, you could tell Pat Patterson's dead. The only thought I had with maybe Charlotte was going to win is because she had a new outfit. That made me think so, too. Let's go on.
Oh, Charlotte. That reminds me. I need to bet on the Charlotte Hornets tonight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I got to bet on the horse races, but they're not on.
No, I need to bet on the Hornets.
Let's get into Raw. Here are my notes. And right off the bat, I write, these notes are not for Austin. I won't contribute to child abuse of making him write about this dog shit. He should be playing games or watching soccer. This is abuse. Abused to have to follow this. All right. Day after pay-per-view, Bobby Lashley, he's got the hose and MVP, and they're celebrating in the ring, and they start saying, we're going to have a open challenge to, and then of course the Scottish Boar comes out and he says he wants another fucking rematch. Go away. I can't. And I know this is not his fucking fault. He don't write the fucking show. I can't fucking do it. Go away. It should be go away. And they were yelling at him, go back in the line. And it's best for him to go to the fucking back of the line. It's too much. It's fucking constant. They come back from a commercial and they say Lashley has an open challenge for tonight, but it is for anyone but Drew and Braun. Throughout the entire night, you get every fucking superstar going, you know what? And they do their little speech. I'm going to reach for that brass ring. I'm going to challenge tonight. You know what? I'm going to move on from Miz and Morrison. I'm challenging tonight. You know, it's always been my dream. I'm going to challenge. Everyone says this. So who's it going to be? Who's it going to be, right? Keep that in fucking mind because nothing makes sense. AJ versus Elias. Are they both bad guys or are they both good guys? Or is one a bad guy and one a good guy? I don't know who's who.
They're both bad guys.
They're both bad guys. And I said, or is it just nobody is there to have a tag team match for the championship? So Elias and Gunnar are next, even though they're 1-72.
It'd be Orton and Riddle, won't it?
I guess so. There's two teams. There's a Bliss interview with Natty and Tamina. And, you know, she does the swing set interview in the back. And they're like, we don't want to be here. And it's just stupid. What's your favorite color? And like Billy said, this is the setup, I guess, for Bliss to win. I took a picture of a fucking gravestone today. And I tweeted it and tagged Alexa in it. And I said, next time you're in Santa Cruz, you have to come here to do a promo. The fucking gravestone is enormous and it says Bliss across it. So I said, there's your fucking backdrop. A big fucking headstone that says Bliss. It's perfect. I tweeted it on Lingus Mafia. You can go see it. Garza versus Gulak. Gulak is so pissed off from a man shoving a rose up his ass. He's very angry. He has a vendetta. And he gets in the fucking ring and doesn't have any offense and gets his ass fucking handed to him. And then Garza now shoves the fucking rose in his mouth after the match. He should have shoved it up his ass, then pulled it out, put it in his mouth. I love Garza now. He's my new fucking favorite. I think it's so fun with the fucking shoving of the rose in his orifices. I really like that. But if the storyline's right, like if you're so fucking angry, shouldn't like that you get retard strength to be able to fight? He goes in there, he's so angry, and he gets fucking beat up. The truth, our truth.
It's because they got nothing planned for him at all.
I couldn't believe when they played music for Gulak. I go, whose music is this? I haven't heard any music for him ever. Our truth is in the back. And you know what? I have completely forgotten about him and the 24/7 title because it's been a fucking while.
He was probably off after the Mania. That was like that was probably his break.
Yeah, he was saying, oh, I'm on vacation. He was doing his little stupid bit. Him and Riddle should tag team and call them Dumb and Dumber. Tozawa, who's lucky to have a fucking job still, he shows up. He rolls him up from behind in the back and wins the title. I'm like, oh, man. I mean, fuck. Kofi versus Orton. Who won this match?
Kofi.
I assumed. Was it legit? Because I left the fucking room. I might have been taking
Orton
a dump.
Orton got distracted by a trumpet from Woods.
Oh, I saw that he was doing the... Oh, no, I'm watching the trumpet later in the night. He got distracted by that? Did he get just rolled up and pinned?
Yeah.
Okay. There's the Slut Brigade in the back. That's Dana, Mandy, Lana, and then you have a little Chocolate Thunder with Naomi. They all want title shots. I thought you wrote a note here because with when Riddle came out there with Orton, and Corey says, I'd only ask Riddle for advice on one subject. I swore he said fucking Randy.
No.
He said Riddle?
Yeah.
And what's that subject on? How to fucking force somebody to do something in a van?
No, because
smoking pot.
Adnan asked him and he goes, I can't talk about it on the air. I'll tell you later. But it was obviously drugs.
I always assume. And that the first thing I thought was when he said, I thought he said Randy, and I thought he went was talking about advice on pussy because Randy was busy himself too. Tamina and Natty versus Nia and Shayna. Alexa shows up. She does magic, makes the ring fucking fire, you know, the post, and blows off fucking, what's his name? The Somalian. He falls off the fucking thing from the fire. And the tag champs continue to be tag champs. Sheamus calls out Ricochet because they had a whole fucking thing on the pre-show, which, by the way, Peacock still sucks because you can't rewind anything. If it's live and you can't start at the beginning, if it's already on. So if I got home in the middle of the pay-per-view, I have to watch from then forward. And then when it's over, I can watch the fucking beginning. Garbage. I think Ricochet should be on NXT the same way they sent Finn Balor. He could do a lot more. It's a fucking waste. He's a good talent. He just is. It's a fucking waste. After Sheamus wins this match.
Have you seen the thing online where he's like, where they like put a poll out about who's the best high flyer and he wasn't in it and he went mad?
Really? No.
I was talking about, I'm better than everybody on the list.
Ooh.
And people were saying to him, what about Io? What about in this one? Would it be Io Shirai? He goes, yeah, I'm not saying she's not talented. I'm just better. I can do everything she can do, and she can't do half of what I can do.
I'm like, they're comparing him to women now?
Oh, there's women. Like, I mean, well, he wasn't compared, though, because he wasn't even on the list. She was on the list.
Oh, my God. So now they're doing a fucking, it doesn't matter the gender. Everybody, it's not a best woman, best man. It's just best. They're being proper and correct.
They've been doing that for a long time.
Oh, my God. I guess that's why he's wearing jeans now. Now he's kind of, he's edgy. He wears jeans, which makes no sense high flyer.
This thing he said wasn't done in character. Like, he was on his social media and he just like started attacking the...
God. That's insane. Asuka versus Charlotte. Winner gets a title shot. How many times did fucking Charlotte's tits fucking fall out during this match?
I mean, someone's caught that on the... Someone's mentioned that one of the dirt sheets, but I didn't have a picture of it.
It's got to be on WWE P-Porn. It has to be. But I rewound a couple times. I think the guy who's in charge of the button was overzealous because nothing happened. She was like adjusting herself and there was nothing there. But I don't know about the ones where she's upside down and this, but it was like fucking three or four times. I'm like, holy Christ. And even the Duchess, she's watching with me. She goes, what's with the fucking Dalmatian outfit? I go, no, it's like a queen of fucking hearts or whatever fucking card. Asuka wins this. And Ripley's ringside and gets in Charlotte's face a lot with you're a fucking loser and all that. Now I'm actually rooting for Charlotte to fucking win the title because I'm like, fuck this Rhea Ripley.
Oh my God, that whole thing with the na-na-na-na-na and like the whole like finger thing. Yeah, what's that thing where you like...
Shame
you
on wave, you.
You, yeah, where, yeah, no, where you're like, you know, where you're waving your little finger and you're putting it up to your nose and you're going like, na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, this, that one, yeah. Right.
Well, no one can see. I can see.
Well, you can see me, but that's what you're talking about.
That's what I didn't do on. Yeah, that's what I didn't do on the camera.
Yeah, you put your thumb on your nose with your fingers up in the air and you wiggle them. Na 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 na. Yeah. Holy Christ.
What the fuck is that? Like that was some fucking embarrassing shit.
Did she give her the little engine that could after that? We get the lumberjack match, and now it's no more zombies. They kind of don't even fucking really talk about that. They let it go a bit. There was barely any reference, and why is what's her name out there as a lumberjack, which is weird. One woman was a lumberjack, and that was Nikki Cross, who's lost a lot of weight because she saw that she was very chunky before with that vest.
But she's still not attractive. It's weird, isn't it?
Nah, I mean, she's not ugly, but she's average. She's a normal girl at best. Better without that wet hair, though, that's for sure. So Priest beats Morrison. It's a long fucking match, too. And he says he's moving on. Like I said earlier, he might go for the fucking world title. Okay. Evolution promo. I'm telling you 100% she is a bad guy. That is my... There is no way a good guy will go out there and go, you know, some call me a supermodel. You don't put yourself over that much and go, I've done this and that. It's a lot of me, look how great I am and I could help everyone else. There's no way in hell this is a good guy. And I can't imagine people cheering her when she's fucking back anyway because people just fucking hate her. Shelton interview in the back. He says he might take on the Lashley challenge. Alexander shows up. This is fucking odd because during the Lumberjacks, Alexander goes and attacks him, right? So if this is more of a real life thing, he attacked him 2 minutes ago and he jumped on him trying to get a fist fight. Now he shows up in the back and he's like, hey, what's up? And he starts trying to talk to him. I'm like, wouldn't you be like, this guy just attacked me, fuck you, and start beating each other? But he gets punched in the face and that's that. Now it is Lashley has the open challenge. After everyone said they would accept the challenge, it is Kofi who shows up. So, realistically, what is this? Did everybody try to charge out to the fucking ring and Kofi beat them and he was the first one out of the curtain? Or did the fucking GM say, okay, you can go? All these people, everyone wanted the shot, but Kofi shows up. No one else showed up. It wasn't like, pick me, pick me. For the match, MVP says, this isn't a title shot. I never said it was. And he has no chance. The announcers now say he has no chance. So now he should win. The director is dog shit during this match because Bobby does a one-arm suplex, hanging him up in the air, and flexes with his one arm. The cameraman cuts to the other side so you can't even see that he's not fucking holding him with his hands. Fucking morons. The cameras are horrible. And it's the director. It's the shaking the camera while someone gets kicked or punched. I want to kill somebody.
Well, it's Kevin Dunwood. He's skipping around. That's what he does.
It's constant. It jumps.
There's literally joke videos on Twitter about his jump cuts.
Oh, that's great. Fuck. The Scottish Boar shows up, and he hits Lashley with fucking MVP's cane. Kofi rolls him up, gets the win. And I guess Drew's going to have another fucking rematch because he interfered.
Well, Hell in a Cell. He has to have the Hell in a Cell. There's no one who's ready for Hell in a Cell.
Oh, fuck. And Lashley will continue to win. I assume.
I will say this. Go ahead. I don't think that Roman's going to have a match, a title match at Hell in a Cell.
Hmm.
I think they'll do Cesaro and Rollins.
Yeah.
That's probably what they were doing at the end of the show. Give Roman the pay-per-view off.
Yeah, we didn't say, yeah, Rollins showed up, and it looked like Rollins was going to be, like, next in line to fight Roman. But then he got in the ring and then attacked Cesaro instead and beat his arm
up. I can see
him,
like, jumping Rollins and Roman forward as a match for Money in the Bank. Like, that would be the main event instead of having a big main event at SummerSlam.
Are you thinking, you're saying live crowds in July?
July 16th, yeah, SmackDown.
Okay, so SmackDown will be live crowd. And are they only going to be in Florida? They're traveling now. Back to normal.
No, well, they'll be doing TV on TV in front of crowds. That's it.
Okay, so not like stupid house shows. Why bother? Just do. But are they going to be in Texas? Are they going to be in Michigan? Are they going to be in fucking Wyoming?
What do you mean?
Like, are they only going to be filming in Florida with live audience?
Oh, I don't know about any. I don't know about any of this stuff. I think they'll be in Florida or Texas primarily,
and
but probably Florida.
Do you think that the pay per view is going to be with live people, or when is the? I don't even know if the pay per view is after the 16th or before the 16th.
The 16th is SmackDown, and then the pay per view is on the 18th.
Oh, okay. So it's all right. We're getting pay per view right after a fucking live audience. So we should be live audience then for Money.
Well, hold on, let me just find the info about it. 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would assume they're staying in Florida, but just having, you know, full audience for Florida until they could travel around because Florida's wide the fuck open for a long time now. And I don't know how Nick's state of fucking New York is wide open. But
it's not wide open.
That's what he says. Everyone running around, they go, fuck, I'm not allowed to do shit. Well, I mean,
that's the thing,
everything's open.
Like, wide open would mean that, like, the fucking, you know, the New York Giants would be having games there, or the Knicks would be having crowds for their, you know, for their playoff games. It's like, you know, full capacity. They're not. The New York Knicks, if they get through to the, they are in the playoffs. So when they play the Atlanta Hawks, they will not have full capacity.
But just
so,
some.
Yeah, just some. So that's not fully open. That's an exaggeration. But what WWE are doing is they're selling a 3-day super ticket, which will come out for Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to pay for 3 days for SmackDown, Money in the Bank, and Raw.
Yeah.
Because WrestleMania didn't sell out, even though they only had 25,000 a night. They're going to be trying to sell this super ticket for $75 for 3 nights.
Yeah.
To get people to go there. They've moved Hell in a Cell from October to June, and they've moved the Extreme Rules to October.
Jesus.
Because they're going to continue with the horror show theme.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. I mean, meanwhile, hell should maybe be.
They own Halloween Havoc, as they own the brand Halloween Havoc, and will and still won't put it in on October.
That's fucking.
They'd rather have Extreme Rules, the horror show, for 2 years in a row. It's not just like little dumb things. It's like significant dumb things they do all the time. Like, I mean, that it's illogically dumb.
It is. It's true. It's 100% true. I
also, why are you why were you calling Drew a the Scottish bull?
Because like, it's fucking. I'm bored. I don't even know if it's his
fault.
Are
you bored of the booking?
I'm bored of booking. That's the problem. It makes me bored of him because of what they do. So if they fucking did it better, I wouldn't be bored. So it is 100% when it has to do with the fucking booking. If he fucking had another storyline, I would be more interested and involved. If he was doing something, like I said, it's constantly, I get another shot. It's overkill. And like you told... You said the best advice you could give Drew is to get fucking injured. Get off the television. It's what he needs the best. Get off TV, because I'm worried for him for when people are back, if they feel the same way I do, where it's like, enough, I'm tired of you now. And you know how people flip? It's real quick. And so they might be like, we're going to wait to get him fucking, you know, in front of the crowd to win something. And by that time, everyone's like, fuck you. I don't want you.
Yeah, I mean, he is aware. Mm-hmm. He's very, like, aware of the fact that, that he doesn't want to be in the title picture when fans come back. So I think he wants to just have this loss to Lashley and move on.
Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, he sounds smart. He knows.
The problem is, what do you move on to? Because they have no stories below the title matches. It's just people having matches with each other. I mean, Alexa's doing her thing, mm-hmm. and Charlotte's doing her thing with Sonya. And then you've got, they're building up Rated RK Bro separately around the tag division. And then you've got whatever's happening with the WWE title. That's it.
He can't even go after Sheamus because they did the same thing. And it would make no sense because Sheamus has U.S. title, so you wouldn't want to fucking be around that.
I mean, the only thing the only thing this company will do with him is find the easiest thing to do, which will be just a case of trading wins of Jinder.
Oh my god! You know what we're gonna see him doing? He'll be one of the guys running around in the back chasing whoever has the 24/7 title.
Who, Jinder?
No, Drew.
Oh, Drew. No, I don't think. I think once you get to beat Brock Lesnar, I don't think you ever move down to that. I hope not.
My God,
we've never seen that with Rollins or anybody like that. I think he'll be at a certain level. But the thing is that we've seen guys get to that level, and they come back down. I mean, you look at people like Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho is never a top guy, uh-huh. Big Show, Sheamus. All of these guys that Kane, all these guys that like kind of got there and then they sat in a certain position. Like, that's the thing. Like Kane's main event career was literally, he got back there a few times, but he was never like the same. But it was the time where he was really, really legit serious was that first year.
Yeah. Also though, when he got the head shaved for the first time, like took off the mask, that was another great rebirth. And when he sat in the ring with the world title and gave that speech on SmackDown, I believe it was, that was one of the best promos ever. And he sat with the world title and fucking talked. I remember that. That was fucking really good.
He sat with the world title? I don't remember this.
Yeah, I'll send you the clip. He sat down. It was that WCW title. He sat down in the ring in a folding chair and fucking like gave a long promo, and I just remember it was fucking great. It was very different. I'll send that to you. And for the people who are wondering what was cut out of this show, we talked to Nick from New York, former podcaster from The Dirty Sheets. If you want to hear that piece, go to my Patreon. I will post just that where Nick is screaming at Billy about the vaccine. And Billy is telling him the vaccine is fucking a joke, and Bill Gates is doing this for himself. So that'll be on my patreon.com/LingusMafia if you want to hear that part, because I thought it was fucking funny. But it has nothing to do about a fucking wrestling show, that's for sure. So if you want to hear it, that's where it'll be. All right, Billy, where can we find your stuff?
TheDirtySheets.com is where all the wrestling news is, and it's just so far ahead of everybody else. I know this week Sean Ross Sapp and Ryan Satin were attacking me on this show. They didn't say me by name, so they weren't there. They called me an unreliable source.
Ooh.
Kira's talks about you're a bad person and a unreliable source, and I shouldn't be talking about Bray Wyatt.
Shouldn't
be talking about mental health because they're like social justice fags.
These fucking losers.
But here's the thing. How do you know that? It's on my Patreon.
Well, they're seeing everybody because, tweeting too, I guess.
Yeah, but they gotta both be on there because this is not the first time.
Oh, and they listen to this, isn't that right, boys? You guys like to listen? And aren't you big fans? You guys are big fans. You guys fucking have to listen to wrestling podcasts. Fucking listen to every fucking wrestling podcast to come out to get some information. Holy shit. I invite them to come on the show. I roll out the red carpet, Billy. I will host a debate between them and you. Jesus. I would look like Stan's father from fucking South Park. They would be come all over the fucking walls. I would love it, Billy. I would fucking love it. Oh, my God. The same ways I would invite fucking old Horsetooth Jackass himself. Fucking Derek Monty on this fucking show, too. But he a big pussy. He would dare to fucking come on this show. Before we go, look what I found, Billy. I'm going to play something for you. This is pretty fucking old. I'll play a little piece of it. Ready? Here we go.
The Dirty Sheets is sponsored by LockBetting.com. LockBetting.com puts out a multitude of free winning betting tips every week. For those looking to make even more money, purchase one of the money back guaranteed packages. If you don't make a profit, LockBetting.com will return you your money back, no questions asked. From August 2016 to August 2017, LockBetting.com made a 229-unit profit. That's 11,450 pounds for 50-pound bettors. 3 months into the 2017-18 season, LockBetting is on course to beat that with over a 7,500-pound profit so far. So head over to LockBetting.com and start gambling on sports and start investing in sports.
How about that, Billy? How was that for a commercial?
That sounds weird, like without the music that played behind it when it first came out.
I was like going through my shit. I go, oh, look at this. I got this on here. I'm going to put this on. So, all right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow us and go check out the latest installment of the Russo Show that we did, Podcast on a Pole. That is on iTunes right now or wherever you get your podcasts. And you could follow that Twitter at Tweets on a Pole. For Mr. Billy Body, I am Cav Manning, and we'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.